Welcome, friends, to the Dice Bar Gaming Podcast, an actual play tabletop role-playing game that uses the Pathfinder 1E rule set, an epic story that takes place in the dark fantasy world of Melhoran. Our heroes' trials and tribulations will have them brought face-to-face with demons, devils, angry spirits, the occult, and more. Brought together by mysterious circumstances that leaves them with more questions than answers, and an ever-present dark force that seems to be lurking in the shadows, forever seeking them. Hope you enjoy the show.
Oh night, by the faint firelight, come the fallen terrors to the gone ones' delight. O terrors, stretch your ropes till they swing, while all turns to dust for the end it will bring. O terrors, through the wailing and weeping, we see you with our burning bones and skin seeping. O terrors, can any know your master's desire? For none will live to see through your black fire.
Back. Come on, you baby back, bitch.
baby back.
All right, we're back.
We are back.
Hey, friends.
Hey, what's up, Martin? What's up, everybody?
Welcome back to the Dice Bar Gaming Podcast. So before we started recording, we were getting all nerded out about what's happening on the podcast and the story, and we thought, you know what, let's just start fucking recording and see where this... I mean, I might have to do...
Never go wrong.
I might have to do a lot of editing, but that's on me.
And, I feel like this is... like there was an episode of That 70s Show where they were getting high and they're like, we're awesome. We should record this. And then later on, they're like, we're idiots.
We gave it to the internet.
Very well might be so. But we were talking about Torad's death, which last session was... kind of a tearjerker if you gave a shit about Torad, or if not, you know, some people didn't pay attention.
Who's Torad again? Like, I know we covered this at the beginning of the last episode, but I've forgotten again.
Our friend Marcus, who we dearly, dearly miss. We love you, Marcus.
Love you, man.
But we were talking about what the shield represented, what, like...
Torad and his mighty shield.
Torad is mighty shield. What is it? What's it all about? And I figured it'd be best to start recording. So if those listening didn't, you know, pay attention from the beginning or jumped in halfway through, we can kind of catch them up. Shield's kind of been a thing since episode 2, where Torad took it out of his tomb,
his coffin.
Yeah. And he was wondering, why the hell would somebody, even if this happened, bury me with this thing? That didn't make zero sense. Like, he never had any, I mean, it's kind of out of knowledge carrot for you guys, but you know this. He never had any significant tie to it or anything like that. And then there's the vision of Yori having the shield in his, in that burial chamber with the black ice sarcophagus.
Yep.
And then later, the tarot's being introduced by the witch. She said that their master is encased in black ice. So everything seems to be, at least semi connected with maybe the shield or whatnot, and you delivered the shield knowing this is beyond you. For good or bad, it's now in the possession of the Witch Hearthgrave.
Yeah, because I didn't want it with us.
What are you guys thinking right now? I guess maybe we'll get your player opinion, and then, or your, let's get your character's opinion on what the fuck's going on, which will probably be a lot less limited to like than your character or you yourself. I mean, Strom slash Wesley.
So Strom, he's still a little saddened.
Okay.
You know, loss of a young brother in arms.
Mm-hmm.
And he wants to know what the tarots are, where does he fit into this so-called mystery that they're dealing with now. And so Strom's now thinking, okay, Alistar, and Yuri, they both already have a connection. Tora had a connection through the shield. But where did he get the shield from if the man from Yuri's team ran off with it? Was it his stepfather? Doesn't know that. But ultimately, why is he here and still not with his friends? Now, we go to the player, Wes. As far as I can tell, the tarots and their master, the tarots are trying to wake their master up. The shield is one of the conduits, as Derek kind of pointed out.
Mm-hmm.
What each tarot represents, it's each different. They're not necessarily a sin, but they could be.
Do you remember what the witch said each they all have in common? Does anybody remember?
Let's see if I got my note.
I want to say a horrific death.
Well, yes, each of them did have a horrific death, but there's something
I don't
else.
Remember the witch saying this, but I want to think when you're talking about, like, when you were creating them, they were all betrayed.
The witch did say it, but yes. Okay. Yeah. They're all, like, not just, like, betrayed by somebody very close to them.
Yeah. Like, the
and
bride.
And they never.
The flayed bride was, like, betrayed by her, like, husband or.
Yeah, or a betrothed. So they were all betrayed and never got, like, revenge or reprisal or justice or anything. Nothing was ever seen or done about it.
Huh. But once again, the story's still early.
That is correct.
And I'm looking forward to see how this adventure keeps going on.
Well, thank you. Derek, what do you think? Or, sorry, Alistair. Stir. Alistair! Don't you do...
I think, like, up until this moment, the enormity of the task was large, right? But it's, you know, how do you eat an elephant, you know, one bite at a time.
Yeah.
But now, like, it's become more of, how do you eat a charging elephant? Like, you don't. You either get on the way or you get trampled, you know. So, yeah, that's kind of the headspace I'm living in as far as, like, what's going on. The next bite of the elephant is obviously getting the finger bone. And then hopefully the witch can give a little bit more in the way of breadcrumbs at that point. So, yeah, that's the goal right now.
What does the, you know, you all have had... memories return to you, right? And we kind of discussed it almost seems targeted, right?
Yeah.
What does that mean to you with this kind of thing?
They're definitely, I don't know, with him and the whole, like, I murdered my family thing, like, I've always felt the targeted nature of the manipulation. Now I'm leaning more toward that, but, like, the question is, who's manipulating, right? Because
The shield manipulated Torad, obviously. Like,
did it manipulate any of you guys?
Yeah, exactly. So that's a question I don't know. Like, why don't we have our memories is also another big question. Like, obviously, like, dying could explain a certain amount of them being gone, but not the, kind of the breadth of how much of our memories. Because there's 3 years of memories that are missing. That seems...
ish, depending on...
Yeah. That seems extreme for, just dying and coming back. Although, granted, the circumstances of our return are mysterious at best.
Yeah. Well, you have determined that even a powerful cleric or divine caster...
I know we weren't resurrected because, nobody would resurrect somebody, if it's even possible, nobody would do it on unhallowed ground. And we were definitely on unhallowed ground to some particular god. I don't know which one, but its altar being destroyed is indicates that ground is unhallowed. And generating that much power to a deity that you worship, at least, is very, difficult.
I'll challenge you with this, and I'll just move on. Are all gods, the current ones, the only ones with divine powers to do such things?
That's a good question, but that's beyond my character
or
to know.
Young or old, there are demigods, there are primals.
I honestly think that a powerful wizard brought us back to life. That's the working theory I'm working on.
All right.
Is it's not so much a spell as it's, or not so much like a divine thing as it's somebody's cracked a particular code on how to.
I mean, that can definitely do it too, especially where the island that we're talking about that you were.
Yeah.
On.
And I'm assuming, I don't know for sure, but I'm assuming that church was holy ground to somebody who deals with life and death, specifically. And so to hide from their eyes, that's why it was done there.
Okay. That's good. Anything to add there? Yuri, where you at? Where you at, Yuri? Where's...
Yuri's at a place right now. He's starting to feel a little despair. Because... he's not fully there, but he's every time we turn around, stuff's getting more powerful that we got to deal with, and it's getting harder and harder. Not that we can't probably progress and take care of it, but we just lost Torad, which was an innocent in Yuri's eyes.
Mm-hmm.
Shouldn't even have been even in this situation, but he was. We saved Garn Redding, which was also another innocent that was used as a tool. So there's too many tools coming up, and we're not fighting the true perpetrator of said tools. I'm sure we're getting closer, and this kind of terrifying in Yuri's eyes. And
gotcha.
Our next steps, I'm just wondering what's going to happen to the rest of the group.
So with Yuri losing the spare, where do you think he's going to – what's going to be his rock?
His rock is he's going to spend a little more time communing with Carvoon, trying to get answers.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to delve into his deity and go from there. Because right now he's had a little too much happen and not enough prayer with his deity, not enough going for there for answers. So he's hoping that'll get him out of his slump.
How about your friends, your new friends here?
Which ones?
Your group. I mean, you guys. There's only three other people in this whole realm that have experienced the same bullshit you're going through right now. Four up until.
Well, I know Alistair's got connections with me, and I don't know if I've got direct. Yeah, I saw Bev Mora in one of my dreams too.
Yeah.
My only concern is how is Strom connected to us? But I don't think we've reached that point, because if Alistair's assumptions are correct, that we're getting our memories back possibly as focusing in certain directions to make sure what is happening according to their plan, our memories won't come back strong until it's deemed necessary.
Okay.
And it'll point us in a new direction.
So you're kind of almost... basing your everything on faith. Yuri is right now. Yuri's hoping that whatever's helping you guys has the best intentions, and you're just, all right.
I'm hoping we can figure this out and stop whatever the big bad is. Of course, that's the way all good people are. It's like they're hoping that the big bad can be stopped. Even if we can't stop it, I'm hoping that we can not progress it too much more.
What about Bobby then? Where are you at?
Bobby is in awe. I like the storyline so far. I like the turns and everything. And I like the controversy that everybody's thought process is bringing. I like Alistair's thought process of it, a powerful wizard. I like the thought process of it. Maybe it's just somebody, a different deity that we've never dealt with. Because we're on the island of the dead, and it could just be a necromantic god. It could be a deity of death. Maybe they're tired of everybody dying, and they went like, hey, let's bring somebody back. Let's see if we can turn the table on something. Let's stir things up. And then you've got the book that we got to look at further into, see if maybe that's got something to help us out. If we can get these symbols that are hidden in our memories to focus and finally give us some clues. We got the bones that we got to get, the fingertips. And I think our next focus is we've got to work on this Carver situation.
That's a good segue. You just gave me the best segue. I know we ended off a little weird last time, but like you gave the perfect... Like, who could it be? And you were like, Carver. I was like, well, all right, here we go. Next episode. So good job on that.
I could be wrong, but I could be correct. We'll find out in moments.
In a few moments. All right. Well, let's kick this bullshit off.
Let's get it going.
Day drinking.
Anybody ever seen the Western or even some of the fantasy movies that are out there, the popular ones where the drawn horse stagecoach is the mud's kicking up and the horse is all, you know, that whole,
these horses are like looking in. Unnecessarily magnificent. Yeah. And all just, look the same.
And there's, yeah.
Like, just, where do they find all these horses? Did they clone them?
And I think we were going off the air. I don't even think we got the recording of this, but, Derek, you were like, Alice is not impressed. He's seen these things before. This is an impressive cart, even by your standards.
Gotcha.
An old style you haven't seen in centuries. You know, it's just, but it looks pristine. The wood is like perfectly polished. The metal is pristine. Like whoever, like people must shine this shit 24/7 as it pulls up and it stops right next to your apartment. And you're already... are people already starting to kind of gather? So as this carriage pulls up, kicking up mud and whatnot, and you're all looking at like, yeah, you've had a really long day. Realize you haven't slept yet.
Yeah, no, I walked into the house.
All right, like, so Alistair's like, in the house.
Yeah, I'm
are
in
you
the
poking
house.
Your head out in the window?
No,
you don't even care.
I don't even care.
Role playing yourself out of the situation.
Yes, I am.
Bam. All right, so no more comments from the peanut gallery.
Fair enough. I'll. Or you should do with my,
here, I'll give you this.
My boon monocle here, and just...
Here, go on into the other room.
Uh-huh.
Go fuck yourself.
I'm going to need a bigger marker.
No. all right. Like, you do hear, as your brain was like, Lord Carver. That's like the last thing that you were thinking. Maybe you even said it out loud, but you do hear hushed whispers of some of the villagers go, it's Carver. So Edric goes, and shoves the coffee thermos into Shram's arms, and he runs off. Oh, look, Carver. Oh, shit. Oh, and he disappears.
Coffee?
Yeah, I'm going to need some, apparently. Mm. Yuri takes some. He drinks about a chug or two of the coffee, and if it ain't scalding hot.
So a very large cart pulls up. And as the door opens, a little stair goes all the way to about 2 feet left. A very scrawny looking human in a worn jester's outfit. Like he's got the the hat with the three things coming off it with the bells on it, and he jingles as he runs. However, he's wearing red and blue, but it's very dirty and tattered, like he's been wearing these same clothes every day for the last 10 years and didn't wash them. Very drawn, and looks like he hasn't eaten a good meal in years. And as he runs down the stairs, he gets on his hands and knees and provides the last stair, the last 2 feet to kind of get down into from the mud. And people start filing out. The first person to file out is my lady. You see a bow on her back, a dagger at her side. She kind of looks back and forth for a few moments, looks in immediately for you warrior types, assessing threat. Up and down the street, locks eyes with you guys, and finally walks down the coach's steps and kind of follows off to the left. Next to file out is Knuckles. He kind of just, he looks tired, like you guys, and just files out and kind of gets next to her. The next person is LaRoche. Hey, he looks out between the crowd, takes a sip of his bottle, which by this point you're like, bullshit. You know, nobody can drink that much. And
Strong takes a few chugs of the coffee at the same time.
And he, good morning, boys.
Good morning.
My lady. He gives Bevmore a really, like, honest God, respectful nod and bow. We kind of just kind of looked at you guys like, all right, whatever. But her, he gives an honest to God bow to her as he peels off to the right. And then a man I best can describe as looks like a butler. He's got the black, you know, suit with the tie and the long, what do you call, dovetails off the back of his coat, the cufflinks. His hair is like in a kind of a nifty bun in the back, and he comes out, and for a moment you're like, is that Lord Carver? I don't know. But he moves with a deadly grace. He just almost floats down the stairs, and he peels off to the side.
Yuri's in his head says, oh, that's so truly vampire.
And when he gets to the bottom and he plants his feet off to the right, he holds his hand out, almost like a railing, and the, I don't even want to say it's a person, the creature that comes out almost makes you step back. He's around 7 feet tall. However, maybe 150, 160 pounds, beanpole. Long flowing robes. His fingers, you ever seen a Nosferatu old school vampire? Like the really, really long fingers?
Mm-hmm.
Like creepily so, is intertwined within itself as he comes out. You almost say full elf as a moment, but you see humanish features coming through his almost ageless looking waxy skin, long elven ears, and long, long, long blonde platinum hair. His eyes look unnatural to each of you as he looks at you, but yet almost through you. As he glides down the stairs, takes the hand very oh so when he wraps his hand around the butler looking guy's hand, it's like one digit at a time.
Creepy.
And everybody else kind of sank in the mud. When he kind of comes down, he's like Legolas on the snow.
That's the way hobos do.
And he looks around. Back and forth.
I'll give him a slight bow. Lord Carver, I presume?
Hello.
Oh man, my creep meter just went 100% off.
He walks across the mud, and understand why everybody else is walking across the mud is doing. You hear nothing as he walks to you. And he gets into about 10 feet from you. Yuri Dawin.
Dude, your face is freaking me out. But, once again, I'll slight bow, say yes.
A pleasure to meet you. Yuri Dawin.
Pleasure is mine.
And these eyes carry over to Strom.
Who's still just guzzling down coffee at the moment until he goes.
So Strom's just kind of like, he's tired. He doesn't really care much for a fight, but he's just like...
I will give you this. You're tired. But this is hypersensitive. Like, trained combatants can go days sometimes without sleep. And your tiredness is gone. This Carver, it's a threat.
You're hyper-focused.
You're hyper-focused.
Okay.
And you hear me say, present yourself.
Lord Carver. Pleasure to meet you.
Carver.
Really? You can't get it wrong for him. I'm just saying.
He did get it wrong.
I did. The first time, but like I've corrected him how many times?
No, he didn't care.
Yeah, I'm just saying. Could have power moved the villain, but no.
Is our language foreign in your skull?
I am from the land of monsters.
Yes. Will do. He looks, for the first time, intrigued as he looks at Bev Mora. Who is this? And I hold 5 feet closer.
I hold my hand out for her to come up.
She does not want to. He's looking at her like prime choice.
Cutlet.
Please introduce yourself, my lady. She's looking at you too. For courage.
I'll step back to her.
I am Beth Mora. Archery tournament winner. Congratulations. I'm beating my subordinate. He looks back at LaRoche.
While looking at LaRoche, does he like have a disappointment on his face at all or anything, or never breaks character?
Never breaks face. That man is unreadable.
Yep.
I enjoy meeting you. It is pleasurable to me. You are not all here. Unfortunate. But that's okay. I'm truly so excited to make your acquaintance. I am Caravan Carver, Lord and ruler of these lands. He's just looking at you, each of you oddly for a moment.
It is very nice to meet you.
Is it?
We've only heard rumors, but we've never met you.
What have you heard? 5 foot closer.
Now, how close is he now? Like
2 feet.
2 feet away from me?
Yeah. Yeah, I should have said 3. Marty don't math good.
We heard that you were the local power here, ruling the town.
Did you? Apologies. And there's some other carts kind of pulling up behind his ostentatious, ridiculous cart that he has. You see they're covered with different leathers and stuff like that. And all Silverman gang. They all have the silver on their armbands and stuff like that. You've seen these local guys doing what they're doing. And they all uncover the carts, and there's food and blankets and all other sorts of things. And the villagers that I mentioned that were all kind of gawking all start running up and taking provisions. And the word starts getting out, and it starts... I mean, there's probably about five carts, and villagers are taking provisions as he's talking to you. So you can, that's kind of going on in the background.
And as I see that, I look at him like, and I for one would like to thank you for what you have done
this place. Then I would appreciate your support in the future.
What kind of support would you like?
Merely not acting against me would suffice.
By whatever could you mean?
You're right, LaRoche. He just stone-faced. And then looks back at you. Then I will rely on your exceptional politeness that you've shown me today, and not expect to see you anytime soon. I thank you. As I said, 7 feet tall, beanstalk. Looking.
Now I gotta look up at him.
Down.
Mm-hmm.
I will rely on you then soon. Certain events might transpire to change leadership. If I have your support, you will be vastly rewarded. I hope we can work together. Understand? He holds up a one really long finger. Understand, this thing is like 8-9 inches long. Nail is yellow. His skin is a pale, pale, like off color, like an eggshell color.
Off white?
Yeah. But he holds the one finger up. I can take care of you or hinder you. In many ways. Take our latest hunting expedition, for example. And he motions the carts, and his men kind of nod, and they unfurl one of the blankets, and you see a troll hound dead on its... or on top of it.
One or two?
One. We found this beast. He's looking at some of the guards nearby. Terrorizing your local area and forest. We've taken care of it. The other. Kind of puts his hand out, like his fingers out, like, eh. He's looking right at you, Strom.
And Strom's looking right back at him, not trying to look pissed off.
Oh. Let's get a will save, Strom. Your inner self. What do you... Hey, Wesley, in all honesty, what would your save be right now?
At least a 15. Because that's actually what I added up to, a 15.
Okay. You are barely pulling your shit together right now. Oh. Bluff.
Dang.
20, please. 15 again.
Exact same die.
I see. We understand each other. It has been a pleasure. Please, if you wish to enhance your actual power, come to one of my associates. Maybe we can speak further. Good.
He looks up at the cloudy sky.
Day.
And he doesn't turn around and walk to his cart. He backs up at the same speed you would walk forward, almost gliding back up, almost like you put a video in reverse and close the door.
Does he just leave his people out there?
And the cart does. And they all start giving out more stuff to the people.
Okay.
The only one that doesn't stick around to help out the local villagers is LaRoche. He just takes a long, deep draught. You know, I'm going to give you guys for once a sense motive on that.
Natural 20.
You needed a high number.
I got a natural.
What's that give
16.
You? It's not an automatic success, but I'll give you something. True. What's your 20 give you?
Let's see.
I got a
It's
20.
A plus 25. It's 25.
25?
And I got a 23.
Bobby's got a 23. All right. Strump, he takes a long, like, drinks half the bottle, and he puts it down, or pulls it back down and looks around. Kind of almost fed up, the way you look at him. And you see, like, the alcohol, like, him, like, enjoy it for a moment, but in moments processes it, and he gets back to being himself. Imagine taking a bottle of vodka and just drinking, right, like, a long thing of it. Like, you're going to be like, boom! Looks like he enjoyed maybe a few moments of it, and almost immediately recovers, and he walks off.
Now, is Strom the only one got that?
Yes.
Okay. So I'll be quiet.
There was more to it. You didn't meet the number, but a 20 will give you something.
All right. Strom just kind of looks curiously, and then is just like...
Holy shit. Is anybody else holding the little pee in?
So as a elf, how old did he look?
Fuck it, man. Never seen an elf look like that.
No, I mean, like, I've seen elder elves when I went and visited my dad.
Yeah, and that thing's a half elf.
Yeah. So, and tall, not, I don't even think it's a true half elf. There's something else going on there.
Yes.
I mean, wow. Yeah, that was not as terrifying as the moment with Torad. It was right up there with the whole thing going on with Garn. Definitely. But with the situation the way it was, we're tired. We wasn't fully staffed. If, like I said, I felt that if he really wanted to, that could have been the end of us right then and there.
Yeah, I agree.
Because he had the talent easily.
He has some talent around him.
And he probably wouldn't even have to lift a finger. Kind of like he did. That nasty 9-inch long. Ugh. Is that the tool they use to mummify people? And just stick it up their nose and scrape out their brain?
It's a wicked booger picker.
Yeah.
Strong.
Barely holding my shit in right now.
Perception.
Oh.
Oh. I don't want to roll dice.
Two.
I'll give it to each of you. As well as you, Yuri. I was going to give it to a strong purse.
You want
Perception.
Me to roll?
Yeah.
All right. 17.
Hey, that was the target. You see my lady looking at him. Strong. Like, trying to work and hand provisions out to people, but looking at him.
Hmm. And she failed. I'm like, what kind of weapon she got on her side?
Who?
What is that? My lady.
A longbow.
You see, she,
You catch her eye. She looks back and forth, kind of gives you one of those little light waves.
I give her a light wave back.
And now, not looking her way, but looking at him, say, don't break your character, but I think she's going to do you the same way she did Hunks. So just play along with it, but remember, she's a traitor. And it's as low as I can get it.
Strom's, like, got question marks appearing above his head.
I'm not facing her. I'm looking the other way.
Oh.
I've got my back to her, so she can't see my face.
You know, I'll give you a big bonus, but still bluff.
All right. Not bad. 16. I only got plus one in it. That's why I said keep your composure.
I think she gets back to work. Guys, they're handing out daggers and short swords too.
Jeez.
To the villagers.
Oh wow. They're so gonna get them turned against us. They're gonna lynch us. We are Dracula. They are the townsfolk. We're so screwed.
Like, one of the whole carts, like, it was very innocent. Like, food, bread, clothes, blankets, bah, you know, whatever. Last cart they pull out is like, thank you for support. And they're handing out daggers and short swords.
Wow. They're going to do a
coup. For your protection.
I'm glad I'm sleeping.
They're going to do a coup on the town.
Yep.
That's my personal thought.
Is
that Edric coming back?
Yeah, he's running back.
Oh, where'd he go?
He introduced himself, gave us our fair warning, and left.
Oh, damn. All right. Would you guys be okay to meet the town council at noon? They'll give you a little time to rest.
Of course.
Thank you. This has come from Mr. Weavings himself.
Very well.
I'm sorry again for Torad. I know it's been a tough day. And a lot's happening right now.
He looks shell-shocked. And he's looking at... You see him looking straight at the daggers and the long swords... Or the short swords being handed out.
And I feel things are coming to a head.
Very much so.
All right. I'm with you guys, all right?
Understood.
Fist pound, bro.
Fist pound.
All right.
And he runs off. So you guys are back in your very luxurious apartment. I think Alistair, you really just... I'm passing the fuck out. I don't care what happens out there. Or did you kind of peek through the curtains?
No, I figured it was just one of the town's council, honestly.
Oh, fair enough. So you went, passed out.
And I didn't want to have anything to do with those people right now.
Help you sleep well while thinking my long fingers caressing your shoulders. Would you like
a last hungry, thing he says, angry
would
baby.
Would you like a foot rub?
No.
Yeah, no. All right,
you guys get back into the apartment, Bevmora.
Well, I'm never going to sleep again. I'm going to go drink a half a bottle of wine and pass out. Maybe get a few hours sleep.
Go for it.
Okay. Champion, yay!
And she holds up her bow and kind of mock celebration. Heads upstairs, kind of downtrodden, actually.
Like, hand on her shoulder, go get some rest. And good job.
Fast forward rest. 5 hours.
Yeah.
It's 5 hours if you want to get a little power breakfast in. And,
Yeah, we're going to need it. I'm a little tired. I got a little beat up.
So 5 hours comes and they wake me up for breakfast.
Bevmora is shaking you awake.
It's been 3 days.
Alistair, it's time to get up. We have a meeting in a half an hour.
Who?
Town council.
Didn't they say their piece when they came by? Oh, I rolled back over.
They did not come by. Get up!
Yuri walks by, going to the kitchen. Wake up, jackass!
I'm in the attic. I took the attic thing for a reason. It's so, the closest thing to a tower that I can have right now. So, I
sweetie, this is still the same day. We need to get up. And it's time to take care of some things.
All right. I search for something alcoholic to drink. And then eat something, preferably something greasy.
Okay.
And I don't know. Is there any more of that coffee? I'll press to digitate it warm.
It's cold.
I'll press to digitate it warm and drink that.
All right.
I'll try and roll for cooking.
And then I will.
You try to what?
Roll for cooking.
You shouldn't probably be the one to cook since you don't want to shit on a dude at his own funeral.
Yeah, seriously.
You should probably. You're just jinxing yourself.
You jinxed the fuck out of your dice. Like,
natural 19.
Oh.
Okay.
All right. Well, he showed us.
Like, he showed us, yeah.
All right. You cook a good breakfast. You guys get a quick breakfast in and heading towards the town council.
So what are we discussing with the town? Who showed up?
Lord Carver showed up.
And now you wake me. Okay.
You're the one who decided to go in the house and leave.
I was tired.
We thought you didn't care.
Yeah. Well, actually,
some noble.
Two things ran through my head.
I figured if it was something important, you'd come and get me.
Oh.
Two things ran through my head. Either you didn't care or you were scared shitless.
How could I be scared shitless about something I didn't know was coming? You know what? Fair enough. Was he terrifying? Was he everything you'd imagine a noble, evil, possibly wizard, his definitely fingers, demon worshiper would be?
His fingers were like a foot long.
Ooh. I'd visibly cringe.
Like, ready to give a foot rub, too.
Imagine.
And the nails?
Yellow.
Well, let's put it this way. LaRoche was actually sober for once.
LaRoche is always sober. He just tries to drink.
Oh, so you noticed that as well?
I mean, you drink around the guy enough, you realize that he's just faking. Like, there's no way somebody doesn't get more drunk the amount we drink. I was literally ingesting potions to prevent me from getting drunk, and he was the same. It's hard to explain.
I know exactly what you are talking about, Alistar. He drank half a bottle. For just a mere few seconds, I saw his eyes glaze over and then return to normal.
Wait. So he's drinking for effect, but the effect isn't coming.
Correct.
I thought it was something he was doing on purpose. He can't control it. That changes a few things. We might be able to get LaRoche on our side. That's wonderful news. It's a curse. And the bastards probably told him, I'll break the curse. And he can't because he's a demon worshiper. This is great. I'm encouraged. All right. Let's go meet the town council. Do we have a list of demands? For the town council.
No, we do not.
Why? We?
They requested to meet us.
Yes, because they need something. What are our demands?
I don't know. I figured they were going to ask us about the current election that might be coming up or so.
So they really need us. They think they're going to lose otherwise.
Well, they probably will. Because something else you missed was the fact that not only were they handing out food and blankets.
Wait, they were also still handing out food and blankets?
Yes.
They brought furs?
Another five carts came up.
Wow.
After he showed up.
He's not even being subtle.
But he gave out food, blankets, and weapons.
Weapons.
So to protect yourself.
Okay. So the town council wants to take all this away from you. Well, naturally, the town council wants to take all of it away from you because it was stolen by Garn Redding, and we need to give it back to the people who actually own it. Okay, that makes sense.
And we were left with
where'd you get the weapons from?
Couldn't tell you.
Don't know.
Were there a stock of weapons when we raided that warehouse underneath?
There was some.
There was some, so he'd been stealing weapons too.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right, so are there people around us? Are we
pretty much by ourselves?
You're in your apartment while eating while you guys are talking.
Okay.
I've noticed most of your guys' biggest conversations and, like, you know, plot uncoveries is during breakfast.
Okay, yeah. Fair enough.
Well, that's the easiest time to talk.
We're not on the kitchen table.
So, things I need to tell you before I possibly die.
What?
So, we must always be prepared for death.
But that is a really weird way to put it.
Well, there's things I know that I haven't told you that you need to know in case I die. I realized this fact when I almost died.
Wait, is this one of these
that
your hypothesis was?
No, this is actually, like...
What?
Well, something...
It's hypothesis.
So... Oh. Like, I've got, what, like, a solid week or, like, 5 days before this conjunction happens?
Three.
So in 3 days' time, an event, Oshkosh conjunction, which is the aligning of the moon, the moons, blotting out the sun. It'll be like an eclipse thing. It removes curses. But Yazard can take it over under certain events that we need to stop from happening, which are, Marty, I don't know that far, right? I know that there's events that can take place that he can take it over, but I don't know exactly what they are.
That's right.
Okay.
Correct.
So in 3 days' time, the conjunction is going to happen. And at that time...
That's with the moons?
Yes. It will be specifically Oshkia's ritual day that removes curses. Now, I don't know exactly how it works, but I know that there is a ritual, a counter ritual that can take place. And if Yazard then becomes in ascendance and he, instead of removing curses, will duplicate them or increase them or amplify them. I'm not entirely sure as to how it works, or I'm not, obviously, religion is a hobby, not a speciality. So I need to get in touch with the Church of Oshkia and find out the particulars so that we can initiate the rite for her. At the same time, we need to find out about the ritual for Yazard and see if we can block it. Because if everything you've told me about Lord Carver is true, that creepy bastard is most likely a demon worshiper, and, or more specifically, a Yazard worshiper who, you know, uses demons. So, yeah, we should make a list of demands. Because he's very blatantly, like, going down a path, like, of his own destruction. There's got to be a trap there that I'm just not seeing, but it seems like he wants it to occur. Did he apply any kind of mental pressure? Like, did you feel like you wanted to go along with everything he said or did just because he said or did something?
No, but he made more of a forceful impression on Bebmore.
Did you feel like you wanted to go along with what he wanted?
No, but his interest in me was unsettling.
Oh, yeah, he's an unsettling guy.
No, I mean...
Like, skin crawls?
Like, he liked me a lot. I don't know. He just creeped me out, yeah. I have nothing, but nothing...
He also killed one of my troll hounds.
So he was trying to get a rise. So he wants us to fall into a trap. Nobody is that ridiculously fictional. Unless they are. Did LaRoche seem... How did LaRoche seem in his presence?
He seemed perfectly straightforward and normal.
So no annoyance whatsoever? No, like... He never looked at him, like, on the sly, like, this guy is an idiot.
He was unreadable in his presence.
That's the worst part about the rush.
First of all, why don't we meet the town council? We pretty have much an idea of what they're going to say, but we have a bigger issue.
What's that?
We need to talk to Devlin. Yes. He probably has
That's what's
the
important.
Answers.
Well, he definitely has the library, from what I understand.
Where we can figure out what the ritual is.
Precisely.
So we're supposed to meet at noon, say, what time is it now? 11?
11:45.
Oh, so we got 15 minutes for the meeting.
Right. Let's go.
So who do we think we can trust on the town? There's the stoic guy who never talks. He seems upright. What's your read on him, Strong?
I don't even remember the stoic guy.
He didn't do anything.
Garland Gaines, he's the knight.
Oh, okay.
He's only been there a few times.
He might be trustable. I do not like the fat guy that's with...
Yeah. Well, he's dependable, right? Because...
Otis Weavings.
Otis is going to want to keep his power. So he's dependable. We don't tell him. Weaving. We treat him like a mushroom. We keep him in the dark and feed him shit.
But I'm afraid that if he gets pressured, he's going to turn just to keep his title.
He won't be able to keep his title.
You don't know. He might be under new management and keep the same level position. He seems a little squishy.
You were very adamant how he, this tower is mine. I can't really do his voice.
He did say he was Lord Carver and Lord. Not just Lord Carver of his mines. Lord Carver of this entire area.
Yeah, he's literally... Wow.
He said he was the Lord of these lands.
Doing the villain thing.
So the Lord of these lands, to me, says he owns the undead world, too.
Well, yeah, that's the other thing I haven't brought up. So I think there's more to the underground city than we've seen. I don't think it's just a tomb under our house. I think there's a whole city underneath this hamlet. I think the Azulians sunk it for some reason. I don't know why. But I think they literally buried their own city. And I think Carver might be trying to dig it up. The Silvermen are miners. And there's no more silver.
No, they're of age.
All right, let's get refreshed.
I'm refreshed.
Wash our faces and...
Press the digitation. I clean space off.
Okay, that works.
All right. You guys head to town?
Dude.
All right. So one of the few stone buildings remaining is Town Hall. Beautiful building. Looks like it's been restored 100 times over. It has actually a very ancient architecture style to it. It's almost like would be going into like a Roman-esque like courthouse nowadays. While not from the original period, it looks like it has been restored from olden times, if that makes sense. As you guys are by the secretary, she leads you up to a large meeting chamber, oak wooden floors, beautiful tapestries hanging from the walls.
If you are a Scottish lord, then I am Mickey Mouse.
Your tapestries.
Hi, Goofy.
And, you know, beautiful vases, like, the lighting or is crystals that are illuminated with a soft blue glow to give off almost like our modern day light bulb, so to speak. Very nice feng shui, if you will. As you enter, you see the town council. You see Lady Vashiel's there. Otis Weavings. Arland Gaines. So as you guys all know, Lady Vashiel, long black hair, looks dangerous. Noble woman, high air of authority about her. Otis Weavings, a rotund fella, always eating with his fingers. Gross. But richly dressed. Arland Gaines looks like an olden knight with a austere kind of armor, long handlebar mustache. A couple people you do not recognize, however. You see a young noble-esque looking fella. He's in leather armors, but like highly polished, like unused, but functional, with a rapalry at his side, played by Ryan Gosling, long, blonde, curly hair.
He's not actually that noble at the archery tournament that was like breaking bows and just making sure.
No, that guy went home. That guy went home in shame.
Another man you've been pointed out to as like, he's very plain looking, bowl haircut kind of deal, brown hair. A little chubby, very average looking. You've met him before. That is, his name's Miles Venn. He's the leader of what they call the common man in the town. He's like the union leader of the town, so to speak, of the normal people. And another burly dude wearing or with a giant bushy black beard, no hair on top of his head, like overalls, like jeaned overalls, just looks dirty and like he's been working like this morning. That is all you see as you guys walk in. They all kind of greet you guys like they've been talking, but all quiet up as you all enter the room. You see Otis Weaver.
Welcome to the meeting. I'm glad you're on time. Is everything okay with everybody? I'm so sorry for the loss of your friends.
Yes, we're okay at the moment. We are still feeling the loss, but we will be fine.
Have some refreshment. This is, Lady Rashia, and this is Arland Gaines, as you remember, another councilman. This is Argus Monfrey.
Motions to Ryan Gosling. Monfrey is one of the major families in the Reaching Kingdoms. If you want more than that.
Knowledge nobility?
Sure.
Hey, 19 gets me 27.
Nice. Yeah, it's... The Monfreys are from the Reaching Kingdom of Elimbre. They're probably the second or third highest house in that kingdom.
Nice. Oof.
Okay.
They're pretty high up there.
So they're like dukes kind of thing?
There's the highest rank, not all of them, the highest rank member of the family, Lord... The Lord of the Monfreys is a duke.
Okay, yeah. So, and then the others form like kind of vessel houses under him thing. Mm-hmm. All
right. They're a family sigil, and he has it. Yeah. On his tabard, he has three golden rings in a triangle, all interwoven.
The Triforce.
What would his tabard tell me how far his particular family is away from that duke at the top of the food chain? Right, he was introduced to me.
What'd you get, a 25?
27.
27? Yeah, that's his third son.
Oh. Okay.
Argus Monfrey. Right.
So we got a Vashiel, a Monfrey.
Yeah, they all look completely nervous with him in the room. There's a different, if I didn't portray that with Otis Weaving the way he was greeting you all, he seems nervous. Yeah. Highly nervous, in fact. And I'll give you that for free with a sense of motive.
Gotcha.
Like he's very flustered.
My lord, I would not have expected to meet you here.
He arcs an eyebrow. Don't think more of it, good man.
Very well. Obviously, you're here incognito. As much as one can be.
I do appreciate the courtesies, but we can refrain from it for this meeting at least.
Fair enough.
Away from prying eyes.
He tilts some wine at you.
Hmm.
I do want to scan the room as they're talking. Do a perception, see if anybody has any kind of a disdained look on their face that may show that there might be a problem.
Perception for you.
24.
Very good spot. All right. Everybody seems very on edge. And a lot of the attention right now with your group is focused on this very handsome noble. But you see, as you're looking around, everybody's nerves, they're not giving quick glances at Lord Monfrey. They're giving quick glances to the back of this chair that's by the fire that nobody else seems to be paying much attention to. They're all giving quick glances. And as you look and tilt your head, you see somebody sitting there. But you only see their elbow to the end of their hand on their left side, because that's where it's resting on the armchair.
Are those some really long fingers? Because that would be important.
Is there a man bun?
Spellcraft, knowledge check, arcana.
Oof.
Not a very good one. 13.
So while you don't know what you're looking at, I will tell you, you as an artificer, you are looking at the most splendid piece of anything, magical-wise, above Prima Fera, that you've ever seen, the glove that this person is wearing. Platinum is running in intricate designs from its elbow all the way down this person's arm to his hand. Within the center of his palm, on the top of it, is a blue sapphire disc, like somebody cut a gem into a lens. And you're seeing...
Is it flat or does it go with flat. The curvature of the hand?
Flat. As you notice that this person has rings on each finger, where all five fingers, and then a ring on each upper knuckle as well, with small, delicate chains going to each of them. And at each fingertip, it looks like there's this mithril claw, and it's just sitting there holding. And as you see this item, terror, just at the sheer amount of power that must be within this thing, grips you. And we'll explore more next time.
You bastard.
So much for the non-cliffhanger. Yeah.